Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 101. Psalm 101. For the time being, we'll examine verse number 1. Psalm 101, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Once again, good evening. We're glad that you are here present for our Sunday evening worship. Glad you saw fit to make it back. Before we look at Psalm 101, I just want to pass along a quick update on Brother Billy. I spent, 14 minutes and 30 seconds on the phone with Patsy. I didn't think we were going to talk that long, but I enjoyed every second of it. Just getting an update. He's had a good day. He's on the road to recovery. He actually walked 4 separate times today. But he is worn out. He's lost 24 pounds. Because for a while he wasn't able to eat because he was nauseous due to some medicine he was on. But he's finally off of that. He actually ate last night, so she was thrilled. But due to everything that's going on in his life, we deemed it appropriate that he not be with us next Sunday. We just don't want to try anything. He's on a strict regimen from his doctor. They're shooting for the 3rd Sunday in November. But if his hip were to come out of place, Patsy told me it would take 3 surgeries to put it back in place. And at my age, I don't want to do 3 surgeries. And at his age, I definitely don't want him to do 3 surgeries. So you're stuck with me next Sunday. So we'll continue our study in Psalms. And what we'll do, we will not have a fellowship meal. We determined that since we just ate last week. So we'll just meet in the morning. And then we'll just go ahead and go right into our afternoon service. That way we can still have Sunday afternoon if you want to go visit. If you like to do that like I do on the 3rd Sundays. So we'll just plan on that. And with that, let's look at God's Word. Psalm 101. And I've titled this a psalm of 7 resolutions. And so yes, this psalm has 7 points, but don't get too ahead of me here. We're so familiar with Psalm 100 as we looked at 2 weeks ago. It's a beautiful psalm of worship, a psalm of singing. And it seems like Psalm 101 is not little known about it at all. But it is a psalm of resolutions. We make resolutions from time to time, usually January the 1st. We sit down with a piece of paper and an ink pen and we make New Year's resolutions. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to do this. I want to read my Bible so many times. And it seems sadly with New Year's resolutions, we just write it down, but we don't actually do it. But what is a resolution? It is a mental commitment to implement a good intention. So it's in your mind, you say, I'm going to do something that is good. Whether it's for me, maybe you want to help somebody. That could be a resolution. And there are several in the psalm. There could be more than 7, depending on how you want to count them. But I think we could group them into 7 and be just fine. We see a psalm of David is our title there. We can only speculate as to the occasion in his life, but it does give us some insight into his heart. We can really understand more about the character of David the king from Psalm 101. So with that, let us look again at verse number 1. As we see our first resolution, he says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So resolution number 1 is singing. This is worship. To sing to God, or to seek God in worship. That's what he's talking about. Reminds us that a majority of the psalms were written to be sung. They would have had some kind of musical notation that would have went with them. We know some pretty easily could be put in the psalms. Others it may be a little harder to speculate. And sometimes we lose the music that goes with it. Now, in the world today, we're not used to maybe reading something that was specifically written for music, written to be performed. But if you think about it, some of the greatest works of all time are based on psalms. The Iliad is a song of the wrath of Achilles. The Odyssey is the song of the wanderer. Shakespeare's Henry V begins, O for a muse of fire. Well, here we see in Psalm 101, we sing of the charismatic leadership of David. And it touches at the heart. You know, we like to sing songs about mercy and judgment. That's what he says he's going to sing. Songs of mercy, amazing grace, is it for me, love lifted me, the list goes on and on. Songs of judgment, there's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. That's a great invitation song. And sometimes we even sing about the cross. On the hill far away stood an old rugged cross. We sing songs to bring these different things to our mind, and we also do it in worship. Well, here David says, I will sing of mercy, and I will sing of judgment. And notice, David's not singing for David. Look at the end of that verse. He says, unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. They're directed to and dedicated to the Lord God in heaven. So first resolution, David says, I'm going to sing. Secondly, let's look at verse 2. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So what's resolution number 2? He says, I'm going to behave wisely. Or I'm going to behave righteously. I'm going to behave responsibly. I'm going to behave in harmony with the will and nature of God. Now notice here he says in a perfect way. Well, human beings physically cannot be perfect, no matter how much we may want to be. There is only one perfect man, Jesus Christ, and we hung him on a tree. He doesn't here mean flawless. He means complete. Similar wording, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. For all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. That's what the psalmist is getting at here. He wants to be wise in all things. And so that's the second part of that. If you look here, we're going to skip that question and come back to it. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, it's not one thing in house and another thing out the world. David says, I'm going to be the same wherever I go. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. David says, I'm going to start at home, and then I'm going to take it outside the home to the rest of the world. So that's his second resolution, is to behave wisely, behave appropriately in accordance with God's word. Our third resolution comes from verse 3 and the first half of verse 4, and he resolves to separate himself from evil. Separation from evil. Look at verse 3 and first half of 4. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. Well, let's back up there. He says, I will set no wicked thing where? He says, before mine eyes. A song we sing at Vacation Bible School. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, 1 John 2:16 warns us that we can be tempted of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we need to be careful with what we're seeing. By the way, 1 John 2:15 through 17, that's your characteristic for every sin, falls into one of those three categories, if not all three, if you think about it. We need to be careful. Here David says, I'm not going to put anything wicked, anything that I shouldn't be seeing there in front of mine eyes. We go back to Job, in Job 31 and 1. He says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I'm not going to defile my eyes. I'm not going to let my eyes defile me. Proverbs 23 and 31. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Also Proverbs 4:15, avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, hate the work. We need to be careful what we put in front of our eyes. Paul tells those in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, he talks about those that have pleasure in seeing wicked things and doing wicked things. Brethren, we need not be like that. We need to be like David. He said, I will have no evil before me. And he also talks about hating the work of those that turn aside. Now, if you look at the last part of verse 3, it says, it shall not cleave to me. Talking about the power of sin. Kind of like something that's really tight on your body. Maybe a shirt that's too small. Or maybe something meant to keep the heat in. You wear something that's really tight. He says, I will not let sin be that way. I will not even have it that close to me. Because if you get it close to you, sin, speaking of, then it could turn into just from something passing to an addiction. Or worse, it could take your whole life. And then we see in verse 4, it says, a froward heart shall depart from me. Well, froward just means perverse. It means twisted. It means distorted. It means crooked, perverted, Contrast that to the perfect heart he talks about in verse 2. He says, I will walk and within mine house with a perfect heart. He says, I'm going to turn away the one that is crooked, the one that is contrary to the word of God. So that's number 3. He resolves to separate himself from evil. Now let's look at number 4. And that comes in the second half of verse 4 and also verse 5. He says, I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. When he says, I will not know a wicked person, that's his resolution there. He means no wicked thing, no wicked person. You know, there are some things that we just simply do not need to know about. There are wicked things that happen in this world that it almost makes me just shudder when I think about some of the wicked that people do. But I don't have to concern myself with thinking about that. Why? Because I know what is good and what is right. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, he says, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We need to be wise concerning the word of God. Now when he talks about cutting off the slanderer there at the first part of verse 5, he says he's not going to listen to it. He's not going to have anything to do with them. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation where someone walks up to you. Maybe you're already having a conversation. They walk up to you and you know that they're going to try to stir the pot. You know they're going to try to say something that's contrary to what maybe God wants them to say. You need to cut yourself out of that. Before they walk up, say, if you're coming in to spread bad words, I don't want it. David said, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not even going to give them the opportunity to speak. I'm going to cut them off. And then he says that will at least help. Now he also talks about suffering not those that are proud. He's not going to tolerate them. Not going to let them be there. Probably what the world today is, the common thought is just tolerate everybody. Just let everything happen and it'll all work itself out. No, it won't. You can't tolerate sin. And then a few more things repelling than a high look and a proud heart. Shakespeare once said, man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured. His glassy essence, like an angry ape, plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as makes the angels weep. Talking about someone who thinks he's good and maybe looks the part, but he's not really doing much. David says, I won't have any company with them. Proverbs 6:16, the list of things that the Lord hates, yea, 7 are abomination, and the first one is proud look. I don't like it. We talked about it in our class this morning, Romans 12:3, be not high-minded, don't think of yourself more high than you ought to think. David says, I'm not going to be around somebody like that. Let's look at resolution number 5 now. We find it in verse 6. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. So he says, I'm going to look to the faithful of the land. In other words, there's a sharp contrast there from verse 5. He says, I'm not going to look at those that are wicked, but I'm going to look instead to the faithful. There's wisdom of surrounding ourselves with good people. That's why I love when we have a period of fellowship here, or if you go to, for instance, one of the Friday night scenes that happens in the area, and you get a bunch of like-minded people together, and you're singing, worshiping God, and then you usually don't just leave as soon as they say amen, but you stick around and you visit with other like-minded people and some very intelligent Christians, I might add. We see in Titus 1 and verse 8 that an elder is to be a lover of good men, or one that appeals to the attending of activities of church, of worship, the fellowship of godly people. David says, I'm going to hang around those that are faithful. We would do well to do the same. Resolution number 6 is found in verse 7. He says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Or in the Hebrew, that means shall not be established in my sight. He says, they're not going to dwell if they tell deceit, if they tell lies. And he says, they will not be here. Sometimes you just have to put your foot down. And sometimes you just have to say that it's not going to dwell in your house and escort it out the door. Somebody comes over at your house, you can control what happens there. It is your decision. David says, somebody's telling lies, if they're slandering, I'm not going to have any part of it. I'm not even going to let them in. Let's look at our last resolution now in verse 8. He says, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Well, boy, if you just opened up your Bible to Psalm 101 and you just decided you're just going to read verse 8, that's going to sound really weird out of context. Maybe even confusing. What's he talking about? David is the king. David has the ability to destroy those who are doing wicked. Think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." David is in a power where he can knock out wicked if he plays his cards right, so to speak. And so that's what David says. He says, "I'm going to do my best to get rid of the wicked that's in the land." Knowing that he can't get rid of wicked altogether, but he can do his best to drive it out from the area that would affect those people that are under him, since he is the ruler. So that's his resolution number 7. And so now we've looked at every phrase in this passage except for one question that I said is in verse 2. We're going to come back to it. So let's look at it again. He says, "I will behave myself wise in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me?" Well, that seems really out of place, doesn't it? You think that this might come at the end. Well, verse division only adds to the confusion. Think about when David wrote it, he didn't write verse 2 and then wrote this. He just wrote one psalm, as it were. Well, it really completes the parallel of the first verse. Watch this. "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. Will I sing, O when wilt thou come unto me?" He is offering up praise unto God, and he is wanting God to return the favor, so to speak. He's turning out evil. He's embracing the good. We must have fellowship with God on God's terms. We can't fellowship with God on our terms. It just simply doesn't work. So then that begs the question, well, what are God's terms? Well, they're revealed in the New Testament in the good news called the gospel. It's faith, repentance, and baptism. I want to close this, since we've talked about singing a couple of songs. I'm going to read some lines from a song in the songbook, see if you remember them, since we're talking about resolutions. "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these hath the Lord my side. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. He we saith, do what he willeth. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, I will hasten to him." That's a song we sing called "I Am Resolved." Are you resolved to follow what Jesus Christ has said? David was resolved to do what God had said. Are we like David? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you met God on his terms? Have you heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized? Have your sins washed away? If not, why not do that this very evening? We have another opportunity. We're about to extend the Lord's invitation. If you're not in the right relationship with God, I suggest you get there before it's too late. We already talked about there's a great day coming, and that day is coming. And once that day, the judgment day is here, you can't change your state. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not do so tonight? If you have, keep going, remaining faithful to death. But if sin has crept into your life, why not repent of that sin, come back, and leave in a restored, faithful manner? If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand.